Father, thank you for the night that you've given us and the opportunity that a group of people would come together and to share their hurts and their triumphs in this season of life. I pray that as I go forward in my testimony, that you would guide me and just use me as you will, and that someone would be touched and find comfort in what I have to say tonight. I also pray for the fellow leaders that are mourning a loss tonight, and that you would guide them in the days to come. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm Rick Irby. I'm a longtime watermarker and a first-time public speaker, so excuse me. But tonight, Wes had asked me to give my testimony on the topic of finances, which seems somewhat odd since I never really had any finances or to do with finances. But through an ongoing health issue and a divorce, I've learned to become more dependent on God and His provision to His church and His people. And although we all hear the saying that goes like this, "What does not kill us will make us stronger," I'm not sure that we always understand where the origin of it is. It came from Friedrich Nietzsche, who was an atheist and also wrote, "God is dead." Once realizing this, we would be surprised from that the Bible has a different approach to it. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest upon me.'" Growing up, I was challenged by both spiritual and financial level. Neither of my parents expressed faith in much of anything. Neither modeled wisdom in their financial arrangements. Because of this, I found that after accepting Christ at the age of 12 or 13, I did not have an encouraging or developing new relationship in the family. My parents would divorce when I was 18, leaving me at a financial disadvantage and having to figure out how to do it on my own. To make matters worse, by the February of 89, at the age of 29, I was diagnosed with a severe heart problem and would eventually require a transplant 12 years later. In the fall of 89, I had a good friend whose father had passed away just recently and offered to have me come stay with his mother and him. And this would be the first time that I would get to see how someone that had any church affiliations could care for someone selfishly and would end up staying with him for almost 2 years until 91. At which time I would return to work, but due to all the medications and testing, there would be a constant struggle in the finances, and I would have to constantly adapt and learn how to manage my money, but this was done on self-reliance and not by God's provisions. By 92, I'd returned to church with some old friends, where I was fortunate enough to have a singles pastor to take an interest in me and start challenging me on my beliefs and encourage me to grow. This would start a slow and steady growth toward knowing Christ and understanding Him better. In 94, I would start attending Metro and Northwest Bible and had developed a lot of relationship with a group of singles who played softball and volleyball in leagues around the church area. Eventually, a men's accountability group would grow out of these relationships, and unbeknownst to me, God was placing these people in my life to build a community to help me in the future. In the fall of 95, I would lose my mother in the midst of grieving a loss. In the midst of grieving the loss, I also discovered my aortic valve was going out and would have to be replaced. And for the second time, would have to deal with the question of a transplant. In the summer of 96, I would have the surgery to replace the valve. And this is the first time I would find myself putting my complete faith in God to guide the surgeon's hands and practicing Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." While recovering, I would receive Christ's provisions through the community of friends and believers that He had placed previously, and that I would have enough people between several different churches to provide meals, help with staying with me on the 3 different shifts for 6 weeks, with only a couple of people having to do it more than once. Fall of 97, I would meet my wife at church. She had just gone through a divorce the previous year when we met, and although her former husband had already remarried, I naively thought that she was ready to move forward. So from the beginning of our relationship, I did not lead her well. When Paul wrote Philippians 2:3-4, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of all others." But not leading her well selfishly considered my own desires and motives above his, which validated me rather than concerned with her well-being or recognizing that a new relationship was not in her best interest. My poor leadership became a distraction for her that kept her from working on her own healing and not allowing her to focus on God instead of me. Once into the marriage, it was soon discovered that we both had a lot of baggage, but she also had a lot of unresolved issues left over from previous marriage, which turned into anger and resentment and would express itself in overspending and fighting about almost anything. By the summer of 2000, I would start the procedures to go on the transplant list, and by September, I was on the list. By Christmas Eve, I would go into the hospital for 6 months, and by January of 2001, be in intensive care, and at the end of that month, induced into a coma, which would last all the way up to the transplant at the end of March, and then again back into a coma until the end of April. It's been a total of 3 months in a coma. During this time I was in the hospital, the community of friends I had developed pulled together and provided for both of us. The men's group I had provided her with a maid that would come in weekly and clean the house while I was in the hospital and for several months after I returned home. Others would periodically call her up and let her know that they were coming over just to do whatever she needed around the house. Once I came home in the beginning of June of 2001, the scores of people that would help us provide meals and just everyday events over the next several months. But it had become obvious to everyone that she was trying to exit the marriage. Since neither of us were really following Christ in a meaningful way, whenever we would try to do anything, it was just a lauded over the other and not really resolve anything. By February 2002, in an effort to save my marriage, and at her insistence, I would return to work, even though I was not physically ready. In August of 2002, though not unexpected, my wife would move out and leave a note on the door. In September, the employer I would work for would try to force me out of the company with a package, followed by my father's death in October. By then, I was pretty much an emotionally shut down person. I was fortunate to have my accountability partner working at the same company, so I was never truly alone. And through his support, my friends, the remnants of the men's accountability group, and small group that we had from Watermark, I would find the support and help that I needed over the next couple of months. By March of 2003, against all advice of family, friends, church, and despite my desires to reconcile, in isolation and not heeding Proverbs 18:1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire, but quarrels against sound wisdom. My wife filed for divorce, and it would be final in March of 2004. After all I had done, after I've been through, I now question why God had allowed me to go through everything, only to have to go through this afterwards. In the fall of 2003, I would start divorce care and repeat again in the spring of 2004. This would be the start of my recovery and would continue through the next fall when I returned to the sporting role in which I would include catering the meal for everyone involved and eventually would grow to feeding 150 people on that night. Although my story of financial setbacks did not end with my divorce, by the end of 2008, I was laid off from the employer I had for almost 24 years. Not being able to find employment since then, I found that once again I must rely on the community of Christ to provide for me. And all the community that I have today looks different than it did 8 or 9 years ago. God still continues to provide for me because of my serving in divorce care. Where at a time, a couple from divorce care allowed me to move in with them until another opportunity came available with another couple who needed someone to sit in their house until it sold. And others also have come alongside me and helped me in other ways. Just more evidence that God continues to provide for our community, or through the community. So at the beginning of my testimony, I referenced 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Paul talked about Christ's strength in our weakness. Prior to that verse in 7 and 8, Paul talks about a thorn that God has put in his side, and he has prayed to have it removed. Like Paul, I've prayed many times that God would take me would help me with having more resources, better health, and even a relationship that would honor him. And to this day, he has not quite answered those. Though it is not wrong to ask for such things. We should always not be surprised if we do not receive them. Part of the reason is these prayers are more about our own comfort, which may not be God's plan for us. But it's also probable that if we were given these things, God knows that we would be less dependent on him and be tempted to take our eyes off of him. So be encouraged. Paul also wrote in Philippians 1:4-6, "In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. be confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion and until the day of Christ. Thank you for letting me share.